Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah, and I want to welcome you today to the third of four parts of this episode, episode 16, where we are discussing the assigned lectionary texts for the first Sunday of Lent, which this year is March 5th. So, as I've mentioned before, but just in case you're new and joining us for the first time, I do follow the lectionary texts assigned for the Sundays of the week that we're talking about. Many churches follow a tradition where they use assigned texts during their weekly worship services on Sunday. Those texts follow a three-year cycle that rotate, and so you hear the same texts pretty much every 3 years. It's called the lectionary, and there are four assigned texts for each Sunday, one from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the New Testament, and the Gospel. So that's where the four parts of our episode are coming from. I've already spoken on this week's text from Genesis, chapters 2 and 3. Yesterday's podcast was on Psalm 32, and now today we'll be discussing Romans, chapter 5. And as I've said before, this is the season of Lent, and Lent is that season that precedes Easter. So some people think of it as journeying with Jesus to the cross, to Good Friday and the crucifixion. So it's a time of spiritual discipline. It's a time of maybe spending time in prayer, maybe spending time in meditation, maybe giving something up in order to further influence your spiritual life in some way, maybe taking something on, like I said, like prayer or meditation. And yesterday I was talking about soup suppers at my home congregation, if you tuned into that episode. And for me, Lent is about spring, because I grew up in Montana and the weather was finally starting to creep toward warm. I live in Northern California now, so spring comes a lot earlier, but Lent to me always meant spring. And Easter doesn't fall on the same date every year, of course, because Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox, if you want to try to figure that out. I'm grateful for calendars. So it's not on the same date every year. So it can be a variety of weeks from the end of March through April. And so you get varying degrees of spring in Montana, depending on when Lent starts, when Easter is. But when I think about those soup suppers, I think about not only the community and the wonderful soup and the bread that we always had, but I also think about that it was finally getting to be spring. The days were getting longer. We had more light so we could actually go outside and play between dinner and church. And there was this giant tree in the church, in the churchyard that we would spend time climbing in. And so somehow Lent and that tree are always linked in my mind, because it was finally warming up. You know, maybe it was all the way in the 40s or 50s. So we could take off our jackets. We could run around outside, and it was wonderful. So those are my Lenten memories, and they don't really have much to do with the topic of the gospel, I mean the New Testament reading for today, but it's just something that I like to think about when I think about Lent. It kind of puts me in that frame of mind, the experiences of my childhood. And so, as I mentioned, we're speaking about the text from Romans 5 today, and so we're going to go ahead and read that now. It's actually Romans 5 verses 12 through 19, and that goes as follows. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law. But sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift of the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If, because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. And again, this is from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. And it's difficult to read through, so I'm thinking it probably is difficult to listen to and keep track of. It's a lot of repetition. It's a lot of things. Whenever I read these letters, these epistles, as they're called in the New Testament, that are written by Paul, he definitely has a way of using some run-on sentences, right? He definitely has a flair for repetition. And sometimes I read Paul and I just think, wow, at the simplicity and the beauty of some of the things he says. Sometimes Paul makes me angry. Sometimes Paul just makes my head spin. And this is one of those texts where my head goes around in circles a little bit because everything is repetitive. Everything is going back and forth. But you probably, if you listen to the first couple of episodes of this week's podcast, of this week's episodes, episode 16, you will have noticed that there's a lot of talk about sin, a lot of talk about sin, confession. And that first text from the book of Genesis was the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, where Eve is tempted by the serpent. She eats of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She gives that fruit to Adam. Adam eats of the tree of the fruit of the tree also. Their eyes are opened and suddenly they are like God in that they can see differently. They understand good and evil. They can see good and evil. So their relationship with God changed. And this is what this Romans text is referencing back. So there's a lot of one man synergy, because that makes it easy, you know, there's no mention of Eve, which on the one hand, that's great because Eve gets a really bad rap throughout history because of that story. But it also seems a little odd that she's just completely left out. But it's because then there's better symmetry or synergy between the one man, Adam, and the one man, Jesus Christ. So that's where that comes from. So it's just basically saying sin came into the world because Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They let that voice of the serpent lead them on a path they shouldn't have gone down. They listened to the serpent. They listened to their own voices saying, you know, maybe God's wrong. Maybe we don't have to listen to God. Maybe we can eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and we'll be fine. And so that brought sin into the world. And yet Paul is saying, because of Jesus, then sin is once again not taken out of the world, because we're all still sinful, right? But sin is given a new perspective. We are given a new perspective. We're given new promises through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of back and forth in this text, like I said, between Adam and Jesus. And so just as this happened because of Adam, then this happened because of Jesus. And so if you followed all of that, which it is a little bit difficult, basically that's what it boils down to. Sin was brought into the world because of Adam, or because of Adam and Eve's actions. Basically, sin was in the world. God did everything God could think of in the Old Testament. If you read through the Old Testament, you'll see that God is striving constantly to be in relationship with God's people. God is always saying, I'm here. I am trying to be in this relationship with you. I'm trying to love you. I'm trying to lead you. And the people are constantly turning their backs on God, right? So finally, in this next attempt, God sends Jesus. And it is through Jesus, through Jesus's life, death, and resurrection, that we get new promises. Jesus doesn't come and abolish the law. The law is still there to help us to live in relationship with each other and with God. But instead, Jesus' actions, both in life and in death, give us a new relationship with God. Because of his actions, we are then given that promise of the resurrection. And of course, I do want to talk more about this, but we are going to take our first break. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, I was talking about the reading assigned for this week from the book of Romans, chapter 5. And I was also mentioning that this week's texts are dealing a lot with the theme of sin. And you can kind of understand that in terms of Lent. If you tuned in last week for the Ash Wednesday podcast, you maybe heard me talk about how Ash Wednesday reminds us of our mortality. And it does remind us that, you know, it says, you are dust. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. It reminds us that we are human. And as humans, we are sinful. We are broken. And a lot of people don't like that kind of language. They think that being sinful is a bad thing. And of course, you know, we don't want to be sinful. We don't want to be quote unquote broken, but it's just because we are human. We do make mistakes, right? We can be a good person. And I hear that a lot, but I'm a good person. I don't want to talk about sin. Well, yes, you are a good person, but that doesn't mean that you never make mistakes. I tend to be a bit of a perfectionist on a lot of things. And so when I'm not perfect, when I am not doing things exactly right or the way someone or myself expect something to be done, I can get really frustrated because I want it to be perfect. I want approval. I want people to look at me in a certain way, whatever it is. But I'm not perfect because I am human. I make mistakes. And so part of my own struggle is remembering that I'm not perfect. But part of that also, and this may seem a little counterintuitive, but for me as a Lutheran, I really appreciate that we have this language of sin and confession and forgiveness. Because I am such a perfectionist, it's a way to remind me, you know what? God loves you no matter what. God made you as this beautiful and beloved child of God. God gave you gifts, a unique set of gifts that no one else has in exactly the same combination that you have. So God made you this beautiful child of God. You don't have to be perfect because you're already perfect in God's eyes. And that's what this text today is talking about in a different approach, because it's talking about, yes, sin is in the world. Sin came through to the world through the actions of Adam and Eve, through that origin story we get where people believed that sin might have come from. And then we realize that God loves us so much. God tried so many ways to be in relationship with us that God eventually sent God's own Son in Jesus. And Jesus recreated our relationship with God. Jesus came and reinterpreted the way we see the law, the way we see sin, the way we see, hopefully, each other, and gave us a new covenant, a new set of promises. So that's what these texts are. And like I said, some people get really uncomfortable with sin texts, and I can understand that because it does seem a little heavy-handed sometimes. You know, if you grew up in a tradition that did a lot of fire and brimstone sermons, maybe you really don't like to hear about sin. I didn't grow up in that type of tradition. And in fact, whenever I think about, sometimes I joke about preaching a fire and brimstone sermon, when I was in the parish, I just couldn't imagine it. I couldn't imagine being up there, you know, yelling and screaming and getting angry at my parishioners, at my friends, at my family. I think I would just break down into giggles. But sometimes people speak about sin in very, very angry ways. But for me, sin is just a reminder that we are all, in fact, human. We are broken in certain ways because of the experiences that we've been through. We have had experiences that have changed us, that have changed the way we see the world. And so God comes into those broken places. God comes into those dark places. And through Jesus, those broken places are healed. Those dark places are made light. And for me, when I hear these texts about sin, that's kind of where my line of thinking then takes me. So because this text is a little, it's not convoluted, it just feels a little unwieldy in the way it's written, I do want to turn to our commentary for this week, because I always find it helpful to get someone else's perspective on these types of things. And this week's commentary comes from Brian Peterson, who is professor of New Testament at the Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary in Columbia, South Carolina. And he starts off his commentary by saying, "In Adam's story, Paul hears how sin gained dominion over humanity." So in that first sentence, we get quite a bit of information, right? In Adam's story, that story that we heard from Genesis, the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Paul hears. So that's telling us that this is from Paul's perspective. Paul is writing a letter to the Romans, but he's telling them something specific. Paul hears how sin gained dominion over humanity. So even that first sentence gives us a big clue as to what this text is about. He writes, "The paradox that Paul maintains is that although we can't escape sin, since we are connected to Adam, sin came into the world through one man," that's what verse 12a says, "we are also each our own Adam or Eve, very willingly turning away from God, because all have sinned," and that's verse 12b. "Thus, we are responsible for our sinning, even if we aren't able to stop it." Now, I'm going to stop right there and just say Lutherans tend to love a paradox. I don't know about your tradition, but we do love a paradox. We kind of love those conundrums, those gray areas. The paradox of being simultaneously saint and sinner is one of the big ones. The paradox of we are sinful. We can't escape our sinful nature. And yet we're still responsible for our sinful nature, even though we can't escape it. So that is to say, we recognize that we are sinful. We recognize that we aren't perfect. We recognize that we make mistakes. But that doesn't then just give us blanket permission to go into the world and do whatever we want and be as sinful as we want and be as broken as we want, treating each other in horrible, terrible ways simply because we say, you know what? I'm a sinner. It doesn't matter. Well, the way we treat each other defines who we are as people, who we are as communities. That is the basis of our entire society, right? That's the basis of how we live in the world with each other. So yes, we are sinful because we're humans. So we make mistakes. No one is perfect. We can't escape that. But that doesn't mean that we stop trying. It doesn't mean that we'll ever achieve perfection, but we still strive not necessarily to be perfect, but to live as God would want us to live. So this commentary goes on to say, "We're stuck under sin's tyranny. The result is the reign of death, sin's ally over us. However, Adam's act of disobedience has been overcome by the more powerful obedience of Jesus, that is, his faithful death on the cross. Just as we once had our identity and our deadly destiny in Adam, so now we have a new identity and a new destiny of righteousness in the life of Christ." And life in Christ. And again, this is what I've been talking about. So because God tried so many things in order to be in relationship with God's people, God then finally made this last attempt by sending Jesus into the world, by trying something so radically new than what he had tried before, so as to get our attention, I think God's always trying to get our attention because we so easily dismiss God, turn our backs on God, do our own thing, right? And so God says, you know what? People, humans, are broken. They're sinful. So I'm going to send a person who is human into the world to live amongst you. Maybe that will help you to see God in a new way. Maybe seeing yourself will help you to see God in a new way. Maybe God is just a little too big to understand. So I'm going to send this tiny little helpless baby who's going to grow into a person, a human just like you. Not exactly just like you, because Jesus, of course, was fully God and fully human, but still fully human in that he lived and breathed and felt pain and felt happiness and eventually died. And that seems a really morbid note to stop on, but we are going to take our second break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about this commentary, more on Romans chapter 5. So stay tuned and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I want to continue talking about the text from Romans chapter 5 and this commentary that we're reading from Brian Peterson, who is professor of New Testament at Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary in Columbia, South Carolina. Yes, I can get that out. It is a bit of a mouthful, but so he writes, he continues, as we consider this text, two issues in particular demand our careful attention. The first arises from our own cultural context, and the second from the wording of the text itself. First, he says, we need to be thoughtful in how we talk about Adam and death in the context of our understanding of the evolutionary world. So he's going to go on. He goes on to explain that a little bit further. He says, in the past 200 years, we have learned that for billions of years before any human or their sin were present, the world's evolving life was built upon death and extinction. No naive-sounding talk about Adam as a historical individual will suffice in our context. Augustine complained about preachers in his day who did not take seriously enough the astronomical science of the time. Augustine said that, in doing so, not only were they careless with the truth about God's world, but that they also appeared to be ignorant and thus brought unnecessary ridicule and rejection of the gospel. We ought to be careful not to repeat that error by how we speak about Adam and death. So he's actually taking a bit of a different turn than we might expect from this story. He says the Genesis story of Adam and Eve is a theological metaphor describing what it means to belong to a humanity in broken relationship with God and with the rest of the world. The gospel of Christ does not depend on a literal first couple or on the claim that there is no that there was no death in the world before humans and their sin. It isn't only an awareness of the billions of years of life's evolution that points this out to us. So he's going back to that, what I was talking about a little bit about when we did talk about this Genesis text, and that it doesn't have to be a literal story. It's an origin story. It helps to explain to people why there is sin in the world. And of course, death existed before Adam and Eve. Of course, that was the way of the world. That is just how the world goes on around us, right? And so he continues to say, throughout the Old Testament, to be created is to be finite and mortal. Such limitation is not evil, but simply the condition of being a creature. Perhaps theology's traditional use of Romans 5 to make all the world's death hinge on human sin is far too self-centered, even idolatrous, and in the end has tended to remove creation itself from our thinking about God's saving mercy, and so also from our own care. So he's taking this in a really interesting direction, I think. He's going in a way that we might not have necessarily thought about this text before, because even though the text seems a little bit unwieldy in the many, many, many words it uses, we can still look at this in kind of simplistic terms. Adam, death, sin, Jesus, life, resurrection, right? And it is, on the one hand, kind of that simple, but it is, on the other hand, much more complicated than that, because theology, religion, faith is always complicated. It's always both extremely simple and always still extremely complicated. See, I told you Lutherans love a paradox. So he says, Paul claims that God has reversed and reminded, and I'm sorry, Paul claims that God has reversed and remedied this situation through Christ. Our affirmation of that claim does not depend on either Adam or the fall as historical events. What God intends for creation and for humanity is seen not in an original deathless paradise, but in Christ himself. In his death and resurrection, we see that God intends and promises freedom from death, even though death was part of this world from the beginning. So I actually think this is a really helpful way of looking at this text. Rather than getting hung up on that, if Adam this, then Jesus that, way of looking at this text, instead it becomes Jesus. It becomes more about the promises of the resurrection. It becomes about the fact that we do live in a sinful world. We live in a broken world where death is present. But God sent Jesus into the midst of that world, into the midst of the brokenness, into the midst of death, in order to bring us a new promise of life with God, a new promise of eternity with God. And because of Jesus, then we have that. It still means that our earthly body dies, but we are given a new promise in the promises of the resurrection. And so he says that salvation is not simply a return to some paradisaical origin, but a healing of God's beloved creation, so that it attains its final goal in Christ. Perhaps the perspective afforded to us by Darwin's insights can help us to hear and proclaim the depth of that healing. In Christ, God has begun the new creation and the end of our alienation from the source of all life. So we turn our back on God all the time, right? We turn our back on God because of so many reasons, and yet the promises of the resurrection give us a path back toward God. The promises of the resurrection mean that we can be a part of that healing. Even though we are sinful people, we can still work to do God's work in this world. We can still share God's love with each other. We can still share the promises of Christ in the world. We can be a part of the healing of humanity, of the healing of the brokenness of the world. When we look at our relationship with God, when we look at the words that God has given us, and we take those back into the world with us to try to make the world a better place. Which can seem like a huge responsibility, but we are sent back into the world to our own little corner of the world, right? If the world seems like too huge of a place to try to heal, start with your own state. Start with your own country. Start with your own state. Start with your own hometown. Start with your own neighborhood. Start with your neighbor. There are so many places that you can start to help and be a part of that healing of the world. We're still going to be sinful people. We are still going to be members of a broken and fallen humanity. But it doesn't have to be what defines us. What defines us is the promises that we have from God in the resurrection through Jesus. And so that's what we have. And so reading this text might seem a little hard. It might seem a little painful at times, but you cannot remove yourself from the world in which God has acted through Christ, is what the commentator says. He says you can ignore it, you can despise it, but you can't change it. You can't remove yourself from this world. You can, of course, try to change it, right? You can't change that you're in the world. And so we are responsible for being in the world, being in relationship with each other, being in relationship with God. And this is a topic that is huge, right? We can't cover it in 1 half-hour podcast, and we are, in fact, out of time. But this is what I want you to take into the world with you. Take back into your week after you've listened to this podcast. How are you living in the world? Are you acknowledging your sin and then working to make the world around you a better place? Are you living in your relationship with God and Jesus and then taking that love and that relationship back out into the world with you? There are so many ways to think about this, and especially during Lent as we are taking on different spiritual disciplines. This is a really, really great thing to think about and to put into our daily practice. And so that is all of the time that we have for this podcast. I want to thank you for joining me. As we discussed this reading from Romans chapter 5, assigned for this first Sunday in Lent, March 5th, 2017. I hope you join me again tomorrow as we move on to the gospel assigned for this week, which is Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. As a reminder, you can find all of the Golden State Media Concepts podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download our podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud, and you can follow and interact with us on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, and Tumblr. So again, I want to thank you for joining me, and I want to remind you, as I always do, remember that you are a beloved and beautiful child of God. Thank you for joining me, and I'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.